And when I started, it was taking about 4 or 5 months. You'd plan weeks and weeks in advance and be dreadfully organised about it, and it would be absolutely horrendous. And I was told that you need less time to prepare. And then the less time you prepare, the better it is, because God can take over. So normally it takes about 5 hours now. But I normally start thinking about the sermon the whole week beforehand and thinking about how I'm going to bring in the message that this text is in a format that's a good format. So it normally takes about a week of thinking. Excellent. So Saturday morning come, I was all prepared, I knew exactly where I was going to go, and then me and my mum went shopping. Went to Morrison's, and in the middle of an aisle, a lady caught my eye, someone that I knew, and she just started to talk to me. Perfectly fine. And then in that conversation, she brought something out that was really deep and really touching, and she started to talk about her granddaughter, who was dying. And in the middle of an aisle, in the middle of Morrison's, trolleys going either side of us, we had this conversation. Wasn't the right place, wasn't the right time. It really wasn't a good environment to have this sort of conversation. But for 10 minutes, everything changed. And my focus was completely on her and her on me. And for 10 minutes, I couldn't tell you anything that happened in the supermarket. I couldn't tell you who went past, couldn't tell you if anyone bumped their trolleys into me. But for 10 minutes, me and her just spoke. And it was wonderful. Because it was real. Because it was something that was really important to her, really important to God. And at that time, it was really important to me that we would just spend time with each other. I didn't think a great deal of it, but when I came to prepare what I had been planning for a week, I thought it was all wrong. And it's more about those sort of encounters where we worship God in spirit and in truth. So I had to change everything I'd been planning. So I hope this is not rubbish. It shouldn't be, because I think this is where God really wants us. It changed the focus of the sermon completely, and I'll bring it back later on in the sermon. We're going to be looking at John 4. If you've got your Bibles with you, turn to John 4. It will be on the screen. But we're going to be looking at a point in John 4 that wasn't the right time. It was a rubbish moment. Jesus and his disciples had been walking for days and days to try to get to a place. They eventually ended up in a place called Sychar, which for years as a young Christian, I thought they were saying sidecar. Thought that was quite impressive that they had a sidecar in the Bible, but it wasn't. Sychar in Samaria. The disciples went off to get some food, and Jesus stayed by a well. Sensible place to stay, apart from the fact he didn't have anything to draw water from. And it was midday, so it was really hot. So he was hot, sweaty, dirty, probably a bit smelly. They don't have soap in the same way we do in them days. And in this scene, there was a Samaritan woman. And this single Jewish man starts to speak to this Samaritan woman. Now, if there was a place that a good Jewish man would want to be at that point in time, this wasn't it. It was the wrong place. It was a horrid place. And as a Jewish man talking to a Samaritan woman, this wouldn't have been a good thing to do. And yet I don't believe that this was a chance meeting. Jesus doesn't do things by chance. He needed to be there at that time to speak to this woman. Jesus had just exposed the woman's deepest and darkest secret by telling her, "Go and bring your husband." "I have no husband." "Yes, you're right. You've had 5 and the man you're with is not your husband." And in that, this verse comes out. "Sir," the woman says, "I can see you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus answered, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and truth. Who's heard that passage before? Most people. Worshipping in spirit and in truth. Wonderful. What does it mean? What does it mean to worship God in spirit and in truth? I think to answer that, we even need to look back a little bit before then and say, what does worship mean? Because we've got it so wrong many of the times. What comes into your thoughts when you hear the word worship? Anyone? Praise? Anyone else? What does worship mean to you? Reading your Bible. Lifestyle. For many people, worship is singing. We even say it at the front, and I keep catching myself saying it. Right, over to the worship team for a time of worship. We say it, don't we? Let's have a sing song. Let's have a bit of a worship. That's not what worship is. But for many people, it's singing and instruments. There's nothing wrong with that idea that worship is singing. Think about the Bible. Jehoshaphat, probably known for one major thing, even though he'd done great things. He's probably known for one thing, and that is for sending the worship team ahead of the armies. Would you like to do that? Sending the worship team ahead of the army, not to sing battle cries to try to scare the army, but to sing worship songs. Our God reigns, our God. It just wouldn't work. But worship was so important, singing was so important, that he felt that he needed to send the worship team ahead of them. The Psalms, the biggest book in the Bible, is all hymns. And so much of them are worship songs. When Paul and Silas were in prison and the earthquake happened, what were they doing? They were singing. We see pictures of angels in the Bible and they come singing. Our Christmas cards come with a little angelic angel with harps, with instruments. Revelation sounds like a blast. There's going to be worshipping and singing there. And one of my favourite passages is in Isaiah 15. The mountains and the hills will burst forth into song before us. Singing is important. And singing is an important part of worship. But is singing worshipping in spirit and in truth? For others, the place where we worship is important. Really important. If you read the Old Testament and you try to get an understanding of what the temples would look like, have you seen the ingredients that they used, how much gold they had, how much silver, the woodwork, the sizes of these temples? They must have been amazing to visit. They must have been phenomenal. Who likes going to churches when they're on holiday and or cathedrals and seeing these big buildings that are old buildings? Anyone? I love it. You walk into these cathedrals and you look up and you look up at our ceiling and think, oh dear. We might need someone in to give it a bit of a lick of paint. But you see these wonderful paintings on the ceiling and the work that went into it, the stained glass windows, the smell almost of these cathedrals, these old buildings. There's something evocative, there's something powerful about them. But many people think that the place is really important. I've never been to Gethsemane, but I know two people who have. And they said Israel is dreadful. It's busy, it's hot, it's dusty, it's smelly. There's so many people around. But as soon as you walk into the Garden of Gethsemane, it's complete peace and complete quiet. There's tranquility there. Wouldn't it be amazing to share communion there with a great big bunch of Christians in the Garden of Gethsemane? I'd love to do that. There's something amazing about going to the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus was and sharing communion. But it's just a place. The place where we worship can be important. If you look at the Old Testament with their temples, their numerous altars, the mountain of God, the pilgrim festivals that they followed. Jesus, Luke 5 tells us, often went away to a solitary place. He often went away from the bustle to a quiet place. So place can be important as a part of worship. And church. For some people, this church is important. That it's better to pray in this room than it is to pray in Refresh. And sometimes that's not wrong, because it focuses your mind, it focuses where you are. So it can be an okay thing to put weight on where you worship. But is the place where you worship worshiping in spirit and in truth? Preparation for worship. Preparation is quite important sometimes. I'm sure if we asked the worship team, they would say that they prepare, that they think about the songs, they think about the message that's going to be there, they will plan their songs, they will practice, they will prepare. I've said a number of times that I think the best way to get a quiet time for most people in our busy lives is to book it in. A lot of us use calendars, book in an hour slot. Sounds dreadful, doesn't it, to book in God for an hour. But sometimes if you don't, you just forget and you just miss it. Daily Bible readings can be a great starting point. Listening to online sermons. I'm sure if Jesus was around, he wouldn't be doing that. But for us, it's really useful. We can listen to these online sermons, and they're wonderful. YouTube. I don't know how many people do it. I know I often do it. YouTube. You can go onto YouTube, type in Hill Songs, and have 5 hours of worship songs just playing, and it's beautiful. You can just relax into this. You can prepare to be worshipful. You can prepare in worship. But we're not talking just about worship today. We're talking about worshipping in spirit and in truth. So is singing in the right place that has been prepared well worshipping in spirit and truth? Well, the only way to see that is to look back at these 3 points again and say, are we doing it with the right motives? What is the focus of your singing? I've heard people say before, I like the old songs. I don't like this modern stuff. I like the old stuff. It brings me back. I'm not keen on this worship leader. I prefer the other one. No offence, Audrey. Absolutely no offence. Because believe me, if you had me as the worship leader, you'd know. It was the worship leaders we have here are wonderful. But you can have that on your heart. I'd much prefer another worship leader. Why do we have to keep on repeating the same line over and over again? When we're singing, is this the focus of what you're thinking of? Do you sing quietly because you're not a good singer and you don't want other people to hear? I've actually had someone jump when I started singing once because I sing quite loudly. That was quite scary. Is it too loud? Too quiet? Is the room too hot or too cold? Are the chairs too lumpy? Is the room too yellow? Are these the focuses that you have when you worship it? Or do you think, why am I here? I have some really shocking news for you, and worship leaders, cover your ears. Singing is not worship. Singing is not worship until your focus is on God. Until you have someone who you're focusing your worship to. The place. We've just read from John 4, and the Samaritan woman says, our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that we must worship in Jerusalem. It was important that you must worship in certain places, that you must go to the temple. But surely, with hindsight, us good Christians won't fall in that sort of trap. But we do. Sometimes the place where we worship can become more important than who we're worshipping. Jesus starts to change the focus of this Samaritan woman from where to who. from bricks and mortar to just our spirits and God's spirit in us. If you don't feel good today, I want to tell you some wonderful news. You're a spiritual house. You're a spiritual house. 1 Peter 2:5 says that. If you don't feel like a spiritual house, then you're a holy temple. Ephesians 2:21. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's how important you are. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 6. You are special. The place where we worship is far less special than who is in us. Where we worship is not important, but who we worship. And finally, preparation. Time, energy, effort, the things we do. I can spend hours preparing a sermon. I can put all my energy into doing church stuff. I've had a week where I've had 4 meetings. 4? What's the purpose of that? I could give 10% of my money. I could give 20% of my money. I can sing songs on a Sunday with gusto and zest, yet it will mean nothing if the focus of my worship is not on God. My meeting in the supermarket wasn't prepared. It most certainly wasn't the right place. We didn't start with 20 minutes of singing. But I'll tell you something, God was there. And in this situation where Jesus was with a Samaritan woman, this was not the right place. There was no singing. Jesus didn't get prepared for it, didn't get an email from this Samaritan woman arranging to meet him. He went there and God was in the midst because he was worshipping God in what he was doing in spirit. So the missing elements of our worship, if all it is singing, is spirit and truth. Twice Jesus tells a Samaritan that the way we must worship is in spirit and truth. And we know when Jesus says something twice, we've got to listen because it's important. Spirit. When Jesus speaks to Nicodemus in John 3, it's one of the things that another one of these really famous passages that we would have all heard of. In John 3, he says this, Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, spirit gives birth to spirit." When we were born into this earth. This earth is going to die. This earth is going to fail. This body is going to fail. And it's starting to fail a lot quicker than I want it to. But when you're born of the Spirit, your spirit will not die. God's spirit in us will not die. Have we been born of the Spirit? Have we been born of God's Spirit? Does God's Spirit live in you? And is that what is used when you worship? Truth. John 17:17. Nice, easy one to remember. God's word is truth. God's word is truth. If you pick up the Bible and read a bit and say, well, not sure I agree with that, then change needs to happen, and it's in your heart, not in the Bible. Because the Bible is true. We live in a privileged country. We live in a country where we can open the Bible wherever we want. We can probably go down to Morrison's and pick a Bible up. We can find it anywhere. We can go online. We can read the Bible. It's a blessing. And the Word of God in that book is truth. That's how we should be worshipping. In what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches. God's Spirit grows in us, and His truth will grow in us as we learn to worship in spirit and truth. What's your focus when you worship? What is your focus when you sing songs on a Sunday morning? What's your focus when you get up in the morning and think, oh, it's church again? What's your focus? Is it, let's get it over and done with, and then we can rip the pastor to pieces as we have our Sunday roast? Or is it, I'm coming to worship God? Because if it's that, then that's what worship really is. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we look at the Old Testament and it seems like the most easy thing. All we have to do is follow rules and we will get to heaven. The problem is we'll never do those rules. We'll never succeed. But as Christians of a New Testament, as Christians understanding you, Lord Jesus, we know that it's not about what we do, not about how often we do it, not about how good we are at doing it, but about why and who we serve. Lord Jesus, I long to serve you. I know I get it wrong. So what? You know we are frail. You know that we are sometimes not right in what we do. But that doesn't mean anything. If our focus is on you, if our focus is on serving you, if our focus is worshipping you in all we do, then how we do it, where we do it, and how good we do it doesn't make any difference. Help us worship you, Lord God, in spirit and truth. Let your spirit well up in us like a fountain, that we might know that we are serving the Almighty God. As the worship team come back, I want you to think about your spirit, the spirit of God in you. If you feel that there is something missing, something that you need God's help in, God's work in you, then find someone that you trust. Find someone that you respect and just speak to them. Because God wants to change our lives, not just today, not just because it's Sunday, but every day. He wants to change our lives to be more like his. Thank you.